Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the ability to gather together and to proclaim your name boldly, and that we can worship you through song and through every aspect of our lives. We ask that you would lead us in this time, that you would anoint my words of the Holy Spirit, and you would prepare my heart and prepare our hearts to all receive of what you'd have. May we gather much from this. May there be growth in our lives because of what you're doing here today. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Eating is voluntary. And you realize this when you have kids and you put perfectly good food in front of them and then they don't eat it. It just sits there. And you can try to convince them, and I've seen people try it. I never have to actually put food in your kid's mouth and like make them chew, but the problem is you can't make them swallow. So then the food is everywhere. Really, it's a voluntary process that we have to make a decision. We go to a buffet, or you sit down at the table and you choose your portion. You choose what's on the table out of it, and you cut it up and you put it in your mouth, you chew it, and then your body takes care of the rest. You digest it. And in our culture, it's rarely a day passes that we don't eat. We don't go hungry very often, except if we're just too busy to eat, or we think we need to go on a little bit of a diet or something. But we've not experienced starvation or malnutrition, most likely. And we don't see too much of that. We don't see children laying by the road with bloated bellies and just malnourished and dying, starving. We don't see that except on TV, like a documentary. And it's a very sobering thought to think of starvation, just that slow process of your life ebbing away, just the pain and the discomfort. How sad it is that starvation could be so prevalent spiritually in America, in the world, but especially in the church, where we have a land of plenty. We have God's word presented weekly, and we are blessed to be in a church where Pastor Dale holds forth the word of God. He preaches the word, and throughout all of our Sunday school classes, that is an emphasis, is the word of God, how important it is. But the danger remains is that we can be starving in a land of plenty. Food can be laid out in front of us, but we choose not to eat of it because it may be inconvenient or because we don't feel like it. That would be a tragedy. Let's read this, Proverbs 9, 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Wisdom here is personified as a wise woman. She's a woman who's taking care of business. She's very busy. She has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. And that word hewn is to quarry. She actually quarried them out and set them up. It's a lot of work. She's killed her beast. She's prepared a steak dinner. She's mixed and prepared her wine. She's set the table. She's made it ready for visitors. And then she sends messengers out throughout the whole city saying, come in. If you think you lack understanding, come to me. Be fed. That's an inviting setup. Sounds pretty good. I'm thinking if you have an appetite for wisdom, that it would be wise to go. It would be good to go. Because wisdom is the application, the proper application of knowledge. And she offers a way of life. She says, forsake foolishness and live. See, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And she says, go in the way of understanding. Have understanding about these spiritual matters. And being wisdom, she has instruction for those who seek understanding and how to live an abundant life. What's interesting is in 1 Corinthians 1:30, the Bible says that Jesus, he has become our wisdom. I want to read that to you. It says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ has become our wisdom. He is our righteousness. His perfection before God through faith can be placed on our lives. Sanctification, that daily process of being molded more into the image of Jesus Christ, and redemption, that we have been bought with the blood of Jesus. We're no longer our own. We've been purchased with a price. So we're to glorify God in our bodies and our minds. This is a saving, redeeming wisdom. It's a wisdom that the world needs, and we need it desperately. So when we examine this Proverbs passage in chapter 9, let's look at it in the light that Jesus has become our wisdom. He is our wisdom, and he invites us to come and dine with him. There were invitations that Jesus gave in the New Testament in Matthew 28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in John 7:37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So Jesus, he has established his kingdom. As wisdom, she built her house, he established his house. It's an everlasting kingdom. She killed her beasts to prepare food. He himself was the sacrifice. He is the food. He is the bread of life. And in verse 5, wisdom says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. That is Christ's offer. He says, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And his disciples were like, Jesus, people are getting offended. And he says, are you also going to go away? That he said, you need to partake of me, my nature, by faith, repenting, turning from your sin and trusting in me, then your souls will be saved. You'll be redeemed. You are headed for hell, but if you choose to follow me and to love me, then you'll be saved. And that is tremendous news. That is the good news of the gospel, that we who were far off from God have been brought near through Jesus Christ, through his blood. At the Last Supper, we see Jesus institute this with communion, with the breaking of bread. He said, this is my body broken for you. Take, eat, put it into you. This is my body. And then the wine, this is the new covenant of my blood. He superseded the first covenant of the law, and he now gave us a covenant of grace. And how great is that grace? When we look at the Old Testament and we see the children of Israel wandering, there were times where they didn't believe God. They didn't trust him. And when he led them to the promised land, they did not enter in because they felt like they had no chance against the enemies there. So God allowed them, he directed them to wander in the desert for 40 years. Remember, he was a pillar of fire during night and pillar of cloud during the day. And he would lead them. And wherever the cloud went or the fire went, they would move. And they would set up camp. So for 40 years they wandered, and we look at that and think, on one hand, man, what a waste, you know, to be 40 years in the wilderness. But God had a purpose throughout that time. It was not wasted time. We see in Deuteronomy 8:3, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God allows his people to suffer hunger. And suffering hunger is not a curse. It's very unpleasant for us physically, but it serves a purpose, because then we'll recognize our need for food, our need for sustenance. If we never got hungry, we might simply waste away because it's something we wouldn't feel we had to do. But God allowed his people to suffer hunger, so that they would know that man doesn't live by bread only, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so at God's word, every day manna fell. And it was a small white bread, and it would hit the ground, and when the sun got hot, it would melt away. So the people's job was to get up early, gather it up, harvest it for that day, because every day there was a fresh supply of manna. They had to learn that lesson, and they learned it through hunger. Also, the priests, They did not have time to keep flocks and herds and tend cattle since they were serving in the temple, and at that time the tabernacle. But God provided for them. Part of the sacrifice would go into a pot, would be boiled, and they would take a flesh hook, dip it, just thrust it into the pot, and whatever came out, that was their portion. So you may get a whole shoulder or another piece, but see, God, He orchestrated that whole thing. God cares. He allowed the right piece of meat to be hit by the flesh hook. God cares about His people that much. He's going to provide for their every need. It would have been terrible to be a starving priest. Think of how foolish that would have been. To have the pot there, the meat's prepared, it's ready to go, and you have the flesh hook, but you don't bother to put it in the pot. Or perhaps the people that had to gather the manna. It can be hard to get up in the morning, right? And to perish when God was providing by His word daily, what a tragedy that would be. The proverb says, the slothful man buries his hand in the bowl, but it wearies him to bring it to his mouth. He's willing to put his hand into the bowl. He's all, oh man, I'm tired. He doesn't bother to eat it. So what good does it do him? Nothing. Spiritually speaking, God has made us alive. We were once dead in our trespasses and sin. When we think of people dying, spiritually without Christ, they're already dead. They need to be made alive through the power of Jesus Christ. And if you're alive, you'll have an appetite. You just will. All you need to have an appetite is being alive and time. And you'll get hungry. You guys are probably getting hungry already because I'm talking about food. So we who are part of the body of Christ, we should have a desire for food. Jesus is the head of the body, and we're the body. And where do you feel hunger? In your belly. So we should be hungry. We should definitely be hungry for the Word of God. We should have an insatiable thirst to receive spiritual truths from God. Because we're alive now. Think about babies. When they're in utero, everything is being provided for them. They don't eat with their mouths. However, as soon as they're born and they're cleaned up, they're screaming, what's the first thing they do? Eat. They have to eat. And they love to eat. And they'll let you know exactly when they have to eat again. I mean, have you guys seen kids that they're so hungry and so tired that they literally cry themselves to sleep? They're just so exhausted. They're exhausted because of their hunger. But as soon as the bottle hits their lips, oh, they're relaxed. They just calm down. And we are to have that same hunger. That's a natural desire to be fed. Now, if a baby's not eating, that could be the sign of serious problems. A loss of appetite in a baby could mean sickness, parasites, starvation, that they haven't been eating, so they're really not hungry. Their stomachs are really small. Or the side effects of drugs. So you see, there's things that will hinder an appetite, and usually they're bad, because a baby is supposed to be eating and growing. So let's consider, for a moment, our spiritual appetites. Are you hungry and thirsty for the wisdom that comes from God? When Jesus says, come, sit down on my table, eat what I've prepared for you. How do we respond to that? Have you been eating regularly? Is there sin that's taking the edge off your spiritual appetite? Sometimes if you don't have time to eat, you'll drink a soda, eat a candy bar to kind of take the edge off so you don't have to feel those hunger pangs. Well, when God says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, how do we curb our appetites? God gives us a daily portion. We have to ask, what are we eating? What have we been eating lately spiritually? Are we growing in the knowledge of God's virtues and His mercy and His grace, His goodness, how kind He is, His power, His might, His creative genius, His abundant wisdom? Are we growing in that, and do we desire that? God has provided the means to understand His word through the Holy Spirit. How? And I've done this. how often have you read a scripture, didn't quite understand it, and just blustered on through? There's a lot of times where we read something, we don't really understand it, but we understand the words that were spoken, so we figure, I've got a pretty good handle. I know what the verse says, but do you know what it means? Do you know what it really says? And so we have to be very careful when we read the Word of God that we're understanding what we're reading. We're not just reading. I remember in high school when I'd be reading Great Expectations or something very dry. Now, for those of you who love Charles Dickens, I apologize. But it was a little dry for me. And I'd read a whole page, and then I'd say, wait a second, what did I even read? It just went somewhere, just lost it. And it could be like that. We read the Bible. Sometimes we're kind of groggy with sleep in the morning, or we're really sleepy in the evening, and that's our time to read the Bible, and we're not really able to understand it. But God has given us the means to understand it, and when people preach a sermon, it's kind of like a meal. All the parts of it, the courses have been prepared. The whole thing's been prayed over. And there's a lot of different kinds of eaters in the world, isn't there? There's the picky eater. They come to the table and they say, oh, no healthy stuff, right? I want butter. I want the good tasting stuff. Then you have, that's like a person that has certain doctrines that they really like and other doctrines that they really don't care for. You know, I'll eat my meat, but I don't care for any vegetables. Balanced diet, go away. Then you have the people that they're binge eaters. They eat like crazy because, man, who knows when the next meal's coming. So they come to the table and they just gorge themselves and they're not planning on getting food again for at least a week. So when Pastor Dale preaches a message, you go, oh, good, that was good for today. But what about tomorrow? Then there's the people, and I love this one, the idea of people that jam food in their pockets. You know? They're the people that they can't eat another breadstick, but they order more so they can take them home. Don't tell me I'm the only person that's ever done that. These are people that when they come to God's table of wisdom, they're taking notes because they know there's more that they can take in at the moment. They can't digest it all, so they've got to write down. I mean, when the Lord's speaking to you, you should take notes because He has important things to say. Then you have, like my son, the observant eater. Dad, what's this green stuff? Oh, you won't even taste it. It's fine. But what are these red things? I don't know what they are. Just eat them. They're fine. We're to be observant when we read the Word of God. When we come to God's table of wisdom, we should say, what does this mean? What is it? How is it going to be good for me? And as I was studying, there was a phrase that God just, He woke me up out of the middle of the night. I was just thinking about it. The fact that some people in the church, I'm not talking about people that are dead, I'm talking about people that have been made spiritually alive, that they don't have the strength or the desire to cut their own spiritual meat. God has put food in front of them, His Word, but they're happy for other people to cut it for them. They don't want to have to cut it themselves. They don't want to go through the time to study and to prepare and to learn, to read it, to properly understand, to discern spiritual matters. And there's something interesting about meat when we're talking about meat. You don't go buy half a cow. You buy a part of a cow, and then you cut it up and you cook it, and then you probably cut it up again to eat it. Typically, it's how it works. The cutter in my family, which is me, I usually cut my son's steak. I cut it up. And they would probably be very content for me to cut their steak as long as they live in my house. They'd be very content for me to cut their meat until, oh, it's a lot easier. I can go do whatever, and then Dad will have my meat cut, and I'll just eat it. And God has spiritually given every child of His the ability to cut their own spiritual meat through the Holy Spirit. He's empowered you to teach you and guide you in all wisdom to read God's Word and actually understand it. We all have Bibles in our own language, I hope. But just because we have a Bible doesn't mean that we open it. And just because we open it doesn't mean we read it. And just because we read it doesn't mean we understand it. So we need to rely upon the power of God to teach us. Then we'll be able to understand who God is and what He's done. A lot of times we'll tend to thank God for what he's done rather than for who he is. But who God is amazing, and he tells us through his word. And speaking on the power of the word, I would like to show a DVD that the high school group has worked on. It's called Banners. And we made this film to show at the winter camp that we just attended. And we'd love to show it to you today. And I invite you to pay attention to the lyrics and the messages. There's enough messages to go around, I'm sure. We're really excited about it and trust that you'll be blessed too. So if we could dim the lights and cue that up, thank you.
Welcome to the planet. Welcome to existence. Everyone's here. Everyone's here. Everybody's watching you now. Everybody waits.
Isn't that good? God's brought us from darkness into marvelous light. Praise Him. Yeah, the main character in this film, she's a girl who's living for church. She's not living for Jesus, and there's a big difference. And it wasn't until she read the Word of God that she became converted, because she saw her condition. She saw her desperate need. And you see that when Christ became her banner, that light did not mix with darkness. That there was a definite change of how she was treated and how people were drawn to her. People with questions were drawn because of her humility and her Christ-likeness. How she wasn't responding in kind by using the cross as a weapon, but instead she clung tight to it. So praise God for the images there. But every banner, there was a lot of different banners in the film. And everyone has a banner. And they're all in contrast to Christ. It really doesn't matter what banner you may carry. They're all opposite of Christ. Christ stands alone. And everything is in opposition to Him. So we must have Christ exalted in our hearts before we can exalt Him to the nations, before we can exalt Him at our schools, in our families, to our children, to our husband or our wives. And unless we read the Word that God's given us through the power of the Holy Spirit, we won't be able to share it. We won't be able to understand it. It's kind of like the difference between a groupie and a disciple. Like, a groupie is there for the fun, just there for the party, whereas a disciple is behind the scenes working to get it all done. And God's called us to labor with Him. 1 Peter 1:25 through chapter 2, verse 2 says, "But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." The Bible compares Christians and their love for God, their hunger for His Word, should rival that as an infant craving the milk of his or her mother. So cool that God's Word endures forever. And this desire that God places in your heart, it means to yearn, to intensely crave possession, to earnestly desire. It's something that you don't just work up. You don't need to work up your appetite by looking at pictures of food to get hungry. You just get hungry because you know you need it. And in the same way, we don't need to work up a spiritual appetite through being emotional or through having an experience. If you're alive in Jesus Christ, you will desire to eat the Word of God. And if you don't see that desire in yourself, it's not for you to beat yourself up about it. It could be a sign of a bigger problem. to know if your heart is truly set aside for God alone, for Christ. If you could turn ahead in your Bibles to Proverbs 10, verse 21. I'd like to read this. Now we know that those of us in Christ are a new creation, and our righteousness is not our own. It's the righteousness of Christ placed upon us. Proverbs 10:21 says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom." There is no one more righteous than Christ. It says, "The lips of the righteous feed many," and his righteousness has been placed inside of us. So we now can discern the word of God and feed many, and it's contrasted again with the fool, that the fool dies for lack of wisdom. Because the fool does not go to the table of Christ, does not sup with him, does not receive him, he will die for that lack of wisdom. Because he doesn't know the way of salvation. He is spiritually blind. As Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, where can we go? You have the words of life." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and his words are life to us. They sustain us, and they build us up. They encourage us. It's like Jesus has the nutrients and the strength that he imparts to us through that spiritual food, that we can now serve him and glorify him. We can praise him. Think about a starving person, someone that's so worn out, they can't even put the food in their mouth. They can't speak, hardly stand, but we're called to stand as Christians. We're called to stand, therefore. We have to stand, having done all to stand. What's neat is Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This idea that dividing it, discerning it, cutting it. And God gives us the power to do that. So you guys can understand the Bible. And that a lot of people don't understand that. They don't realize that. And it's not like people have they're just gifted from birth with an understanding. No, it's a gift from God, and it's a gift to everyone. Just like wisdom, she goes out and she invites everybody to come in. And she's got the food to feed them. Like Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, he provided food for everyone, and there was more left over, plenty left over. Jesus says, if you recognize your need for understanding, if you recognize your need for wisdom, come unto me, partake of me. Let's consider, do we have an appetite for the Word of God? Are we hungry for God's Word? Is it an insatiable desire that we need to read the Word of God? We have to understand it. We have to hold it in our hands, make notes, think about it, meditate upon it. Do we have to do that? How strong is the longing to do that? Are you spiritually starving this morning? It's possible to starve in a land of plenty. Has it been long between feedings so that you don't recognize the taste of food? Seems strange to you? Are there things in our lives that are keeping us? Is there sin that's preventing us from answering the call that Jesus has made? God has promised to be our strength, and this is cool. That there's people, we're weak, we're frail, and that's good because when we're weak, God is strong. And Revelation 3:8, God has a promise for those who say they have little strength. It says, "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." This word here, kept, is to guard. That we're to guard the word of God, to keep it, to stand strong upon the foundation of Jesus, and to proclaim boldly praises of God, and to glorify him completely. Because that's the point of this life. That's the purpose of life, is to glorify God. We tell our kids, hey, eat your food. You want to get big and strong, don't you? Well, it's the same thing spiritually. If we want to be strong spiritually and be mature and have strength in the face of trials and to know where to turn, to know where the promises of God are in the Word so that we can be comforted and in turn comfort others, we have to eat spiritually. We can't go weeks between eating. You won't grow. Our growth will be stunted. Proverbs 9, 8 through 10. Let's flip back if you flipped ahead. It says, do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the first part, let's fear God. We are to fear and reverence him. Second, let's know Christ. We call ourselves Christians. We ought to know what a Christian looks like. And it looks a lot like Jesus, exactly. And we can walk like that through his power and through his strength. And he's given us an appetite for his word. He's given us all the food that we can handle. And he's given us the means to discern his word through the reading of it and the praying over it, the breaking of it. He's going to help us and help us to share that with the world. If you feel like you can't cut your spiritual meat, seek God's strength for it. Seek Christ. And allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to do that. And if you can, if God has given you an ability to discern his word and to understand it, even if you know a little, I believe that if you can receive Christ, have knowledge to receive Christ, you have the knowledge to share Christ. Seek the Holy Spirit's guidance on how to share it, to do it more and more. Like Paul said to the Thessalonians, you show brotherly love to everybody, but do it more and more. Grow in that. And may we grow in the Word of God. I'd like to invite the worship team to come forward, and we'll finish with a closing song. But if you desire to understand the Word of God, if you want a spiritual hunger, an appetite, please get prayer. There's going to be prayer partners available. And I was thinking about how traditional and probably very good manners too, is after having a great meal, you give your compliments to the chef. Right? What has Christ prepared for us? What a meal he has prepared for us. And what a life he has for us. We should praise him unceasingly because of how good he is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have given us an appetite for, not just an appetite for your word, but an ability to take in your word and to properly use it for the edification of the body and for the glorification of Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you would move upon our hearts, that we would throw down every banner in our life that's not of you, and that we would be just awakened by your Holy Spirit. We'd be renewed. We'd be strengthened. And that we would indeed share this love and this joy, this word of salvation with the world, that you would be glorified and Jesus would be lifted up. May he draw all people to himself. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.